News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right. We're going to start hour two of the El Paso History Radio Show, as we always do with an El Paso History Moment, produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso County Historical Commission. And her story today is about retablos.
The Saint Painters. A tradition of religious painting flourished in New Mexico in the years prior to statehood in 1912. Introduced by the Spanish as a means of converting a largely illiterate Indian population to Catholicism, retablos became popular throughout the Southwest. Retablos originally were painted on tin, but in New Mexico, self-taught artists used materials largely derived from nature, mixing their own paint pigments to decorate roughly cut wooden panels. And while the images recall folk art traditions, it was important that this pictorial history of the saints followed church guidelines. Retablos were worshipped in churches as well as private homes during their heyday in the 18th and 19th centuries. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso County Historical Commission. Happy holidays from El Paso History Moments, Sargent Home Business Inventory Services, El Paso Gold History Videos, and the El Paso History Radio Show.
That would be us.
That's us.
Hey, that's all good stuff you got there. And retablos are what they are.
Oh, they're gorgeous. I'd love to have one.
There's a great collection down at the El Paso Museum of Art, and I think Nancy Hamilton put in like 500 of them or
something like that. And they keep taking it away from me when I keep trying to steal it.
So. Well, don't do that. But anyway, that's the El Paso County Historical Commission. That's the crowd that meets downtown. They've got the website, elpasocountyhistory.com, and their meeting is Monday, right?
On Monday, December 12th at 11:30 a.m., and it's going to be at the Paso del Norte, United Bank of Paso del Norte in downtown at Main and Kansas. And if you want to get involved in the commission or you want just questions, call Bernie Sargent at 915-581-7920.
All right, we're going to get into a discussion about various things going on. And today we're talking about UT El Paso History Day. And if you want to find out about it, you go to UT El Paso History Day, Google
that,
and you'll find a guy running that named Dr. Charles Martin. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome here.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming in. Now, Melissa has a rundown of some of the things you have done in your past, I think.
Hopefully
not all of them.
Of course we're going to read all. No. Okay. You basically, you specialize in United States history and Texas history, civil rights, sports history. You've got your MA and PhD from Tulane University and your BA from Summa Cum Laude, Texas A&M. Whoop. University.
Well, it was Texas A&I at the time.
A&I.
It only later became A&M Kingsville. So I don't consider myself an Aggie, although my wife says I retroactively became one.
Well, you've been here over 30-some-odd years, you said 40.
Right.
Okay, you're a native now. Boom.
Yeah.
As of 10 years, you're a native. So you can say anything you want. And you better be accurate, because the thing about your history day is interesting. What is your take on the students that you're getting at UTEP? Do you actually get students in history classes?
Yeah, I mean, I just finished teaching a class that started with about 89 students on Texas history. But, so many of our students are not necessarily originally from here. I think something like 80-85% of our students come from El Paso County or El Paso Juarez. Doesn't mean they're always necessarily were born here or grew up here. And particularly for those who've immigrated from Mexico, for example, or we have a lot of veterans that, stay over and then come back to school. Texas is kind of like a foreign country for them a little bit. And really, El Paso, truthfully, we're not really part of the mainstream of Texas. We're really out here next to New Mexico.
Correct.
And Chihuahua. We're really southwestern, more so than Texas.
And so we're a north-south economy. We're a north-south society quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I think I ought to give a talk at the Texas State Historical Association on teaching Texas history to foreigners.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because a lot of our students, when you talk about the rest of Texas, the central time zone Texas, sometimes they kind of recoil a little bit, like, what are these Texans like?
Yeah.
They don't consider themselves Texans. I mean, just to give you an example, a friend of my son from high school, he was the most valuable player, 1988, in soccer for the district here. And so he had a college scholarship in South Carolina. And when he came back, he was telling various people, over there, his nickname was Tex. And for him, it was like, what?
Well, yeah.
Why are you calling? Well, you're from Texas. Well, it's like, well, I'm from El Paso.
Well,
he didn't really think of himself as Tex.
Well, I'm from El Paso, and I go somewhere on the East Coast. They say, wear your cowboy boots. So I bought a pair. They expected me to wear them.
That's the truth.
The history in El Paso, though, I see your point. You've got quite a few students coming into UTEP who do not have an El Paso background because they're from Juarez.
Yep.
And then the other thing is, you have quite a few students coming to UTEP from El Paso who have no El Paso background because they were not taught that in their schools here. That's the problem I'm glad to see you, I think, addressing.
Well, in Texas history, of course, it's an upper division course, and a lot of those people are going to be teachers. So it's really important, since fourth grade, seventh grade, and sometimes in high school, they deal with Texas history, that they know not only El Paso, but the larger Texas history, too, because the larger Texas history, they're not so aware of. And, well, actually, I think it's a problem with younger people today and youth culture, is that history is not very interesting. It's all about today. And so when you get older, when you're older and you've traveled, history means a lot more to you. And so sometimes people that have been in military service, they come back and have been stationed in Europe, for example, or in Asia, Korea. Their eyes have been opened to this larger world, and they see the world and El Paso in a little bit differently, and they're much more interested in knowing, why are things done this way? And so they get back into the history. When you're 18 or 19, the average student isn't so interested in history. I mean, I was different, obviously. I was reading history in grade school.
Yeah.
But that's not normal.
Well, the call screener says she did it, too. So
we all did.
There's more history buffs out there than you might think. But in general, though, you're right, though. The people don't seem to think that's a very common thing to deal
with. Especially when you're 18 or 19.
Exactly.
You have other interest that supersede.
You're looking forward. You're looking at the future, not behind you.
Yeah, I think
and
that's
not,
a good
not
point.
Connecting how the two actually interplay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you're 19, you don't care what happened. You're going to do, what am I going to do now?
History is like last week or last month, maybe.
I'm like him. I was even interested in history then, too. But
I'm a classic example. Growing up in El Paso, I did not know we had missions that were of any value or of any interest till I was almost 50 years old. I came back from where I lived for decades out of here, came back and looked around and said, what is all of this? Because I got involved in Georgetown history and Washington, D.C., and George Washington history. So I did videos on all those kind of people up in there. And I got to thinking, well, I wonder what happened back in my hometown. And I didn't ever plan to come back here. But since I did, I'm looking around saying, what is all of this? Are you somewhat fascinated by what you find here? I was.
Well, I sort of had the same experience going up in the lower Rio Grande Valley in South Texas, about 40 miles upriver from Brownsville. I didn't know very much about local history at all. And when I went away to college, I began to learn about some events. And then actually, I was here in El Paso after 1978, and we had a historian come here from San Antonio who was talking about history of South Texas, including the valley. And I was learning things like I never knew when I grew up there.
Right. So, local history should be taught. And it is. Am I correct in assuming that that's kind of what the history fair does?
Well, no, we do local, but no, we do every kind of history.
Okay.
Now this is like El Paso, the National History Day contest takes place on several levels, all right? So you can have like the classroom or the individual school level. You can have a history day or history fair there. What we do at UTEP is it's basically like the citywide contest. So it's like really a kind of regional contest. Then we have Texas History Day, which is the state competition. It's not restricted to Texas history. It's the state, sort of state championship, if you like. And they have maybe 1,100 students for Texas History Day down at the Bullock Museum and the UT campus on a Friday evening and all day on a Saturday. And then you go to the National History Day competition, which is in College Park, Maryland, and that's in June. And they have, if you add teachers in with the students, they'll have maybe 3,000 kids and their teachers there, and they run theirs about 5 days, and they have Ken Burns and people like that that frequently are there. So we're not restricted just to El Paso history. We can cover history every place. What we do is we have a theme, and then you can look at other parts of the world, the U.S., Texas, El Paso, et cetera. And generally here, we begin with the eighth graders. Eighth graders actually are maybe two-thirds of our competition, and then high school. What the El Paso district does is very interesting. They have a sort of pre-history day. Mm. And you might invite somebody from that over sometime. They have what's called Hometown Frontiers. And that's their seventh grade pre-history day. And that focuses exclusively on the El Paso region. And so they really study El Paso history and all any aspect that they can get the kids interested in the seventh grade. That's in the EPISD.
I think Richard Romero used to run that. He's retired.
He could be. Certainly, I think he did. And also then, they go, but they use some of the techniques of the History Day competition. And then eighth grade on, you go through the regular process.
So, when is this event held?
Okay. Normally, it's held the third or fourth Saturday in February. So this year, for example, it's going to be February 25th. Now, maybe I should explain what types of competition we have.
Well, also start with this. I'm familiar with a science fair. You walk around, the kids put stuff on a board.
Right,
they
right.
stand there and explain it to the judge, and they get an award or not. What happens different, or is it the same?
That's very good. That's a great question. Okay, we have like five different categories. So one category would be your exhibit or your poster exhibit. And that resembles what you would see at a science fair.
Got it.
All right. Now, we have individual and group competitions. So an individual student from their class can do it, or up to five in a group. But we also have four other categories. We have, for example, websites. So you can create a historical website. That was not one of the original categories.
Well, things have evolved. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It was added about 7 years ago. Yeah. And we sort of got the technology down a little bit better now. You can also enter into documentary film. So you can make historical documentary. And I'm really amazed, actually, at the skill that some of these students have.
Oh, yeah.
They can't make
a
historical documentary.
Well, they got the toys now. They're cheap, and they can do it.
Oh, yes.
Back in the day when I did it, it was too expensive.
It's much easier than it used to be. We used to have terrible technical problems trying to get the VHS tapes to play.
How do you edit a VHS, right? Now you do computer editing.
It's
brilliant. But again, we have group and individual competition. Yeah. We have historical performance. So we have some people, you know, who aren't really text-oriented. They're more visual, more expressive. So you can have it has to be accurate. You can have individual and also group historical performance. For example, El Paso High 1 year had a group that did, I believe that was the year of the individual in history. So they decided to do theirs on Pancho Villa. And so they had to do all this kind of research. And they actually went to Juarez and used the archives over in Juarez for some of their research.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really outstanding. Went second place in state. I thought maybe it should have won first, actually. It was really great. And the last one that I did mention is we do have the your traditional historical research paper. Now, that's only individuals.
Yeah.
We don't have the groups helping each other on that
one. An eighth grader writing a research paper. That happens?
Yes. Now, they aren't as polished and sophisticated, obviously, as the high school students, but they begin to learn about whether you're doing a paper or you're doing a website, first thing you have to do is you have to learn how to identify a topic that's doable. And so we have an annual theme each year. And so, for example, this year's theme, it's taking a stand in history. So all your, whether you do local history or global history, it has to be related to the theme. And, of course, sometimes they're a little creative.
Sure.
One year we had, I'm not sure what it was. It was a memorial for Kurt Cobain.
Oh.
I'm not sure what the theme was. But anyway, the kid did a lot of research.
I got him into it.
I mean, he's a historical figure in his own right. I mean, in rock and roll.
And really, that's the point. It was to get kids excited about doing historical research. But it's not just history in a kind of narrow sense. They learn all these skills. So you have to learn how to identify a topic that's appropriate. You have to learn how to find sources, both secondary and hopefully even on the eighth grade level, maybe some primary sources. Okay, then you have to go actually do the research.
Mm-hmm.
And the UTEP Library, for example, has classes come in where the whole class is doing history fair.
Oh, cool.
Now, not all of those are going to advance to the UTEP competition, but they're always available to help. Nancy Hill over there does a great job. Then you actually have to write up or do whatever is appropriate for the form you're doing. So you'd have to write a process paper that tells the judges all the steps, or your teacher, if she's the judge, tells you all the steps you took. So you can kind of review,
right,
if they understand the process of doing research. And then you have to, I said write, but it's really communicate your findings through the website, the documentary, the traditional poster,
you present
paper.
It. You present
right.
it.
Yeah. You communicate and present your findings, so you actually have to then tease out what exactly is important from what you've done
in
the appropriate manner for the genre that you're using.
Right.
And sometimes, I have to tell you, with even eighth graders, they know so much about their topic, you have to shut them up when they're making the presentation.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah. And I've done interviews with some of the eighth graders and some of the college kids, too, in the past for Concordia Cemetery. And it's amazing the knowledge that they have. I just kind of fill in some of the blanks for them.
Well, that's the whole idea, of course, is to get them excited about doing research. And so we're doing history, right?
Yeah.
But this is relevant to almost any kind of professional career they do.
That's true.
I mean, you and I are all interested in history itself. These students are interested in history, but they may not all be history buffs.
But they're picking up a skill set how to do this.
Right.
Yes.
And it's great for college prep.
Dr. Charles Martin is in the house. We're going to talk further, but we can take a break here. It's that commercial thing we do here at the KTSM. And Dr. Martin will answer your questions if you like. Also, I want to tell Prince McKenzie to call back. We can take his call in a few minutes. And in the meantime, we're going to take a trivia break here.
That's right.
Are you ready for some trivia? We may ask Dr. Martin to be the judge of the trivia questions.
That's right.
What do you got?
Okay. Name one of the two former names of UTEP.
Oh.
There were two names.
University of Texas at El Paso had a previous incarnation as blank
or blank.
Blank. Fill
the blanks.
The blanks. Or one, just one of them, right?
One of them. If they know both of them, I'm going to think they're really smart.
I will give them an extra DVD if
there
they do
go.
This. So
okay.
You get a Pepe's,
Pepe's
20,
or a DVD or 20 two DVDs.
Or if you tell us both and we think it's impressive, we'll give you two DVDs.
That's right.
Fair enough. How do they get this?
Call us at 915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Are you putting your money into an IRA, pension, or 401k? Then I hope you're prepared to lose 30%, 40%, 50% or more of your retirement savings, because it's not a question of if the market crashes again. It's a question of when. It's going to happen. Did you know there is a way you can protect and grow your wealth safely and predictably every single year? The people using this approach didn't lose a penny when the market crashed in 2000 or 2008, and they won't lose a penny in the next crash. In fact, their money will continue to grow safely year in and year out, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. A free report detailing this savings program is now available. This free report shows how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your retirement in the Wall Street casino. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement. It far outperforms any IRA or 401k. To get this free report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. bankonyourself.com.
Wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, a crashing economy. Are you ready? At best, your local stores have a 3-day supply of food. Will your family have to fight over what's left? Are you willing to gamble your family's safety that it'll never happen to you? Be wise and be ready with 25-year shelf life Wise Food Storage. Wise Food Storage provides affordable, ready-made gourmet meals with a super long 25-year shelf life. Meals like pasta Alfredo, cheesy lasagna, breakfast, dessert, drinks, and snacks. Just add water and your family is eating delicious food instead of fighting for scraps in a food riot. Try it free. Order a no-obligation free sample meal delivered right to your front door. And for a limited time, get a 10% discount and free shipping on all orders. Once done, you're set for 25 years. Be wise and be ready with Wise Food Storage. Call for your free sample now. 800-836-8244. 800-836-8244. 800-836-8244.
The El Paso Community Foundation invites you to visit the virtual Spirit of Giving Tree and help someone in need with a gift this Christmas. Just go online to spiritofgiving.epcf.org, then click on a tag, pay for the gift, and the El Paso Community Foundation will do the rest. Since 1989, the foundation and its partners have helped hundreds of children, elderly, and disabled in our area enjoy the holidays through the generosity of donors like you. Go to spiritofgiving.epcf.org today and find out more.
Now Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got full lines for trivia. Dr. Charles Martin is still in the house. We're going to talk about the History Day at UTEP. There's a lot
That's going on there.
In the meantime, let me tell you who's coming in here next week on the 17th. Let's give El Paso history for Christmas. Maria Natividad Rosa Guerrero. And we're going to also see what we can get out of some of the museum gift shops around here and talk about DVDs that are also historic.
That's right.
Those are all gifts you can give of El Paso history.
Something different, something unique.
And El Paso history DVDs, we got a few of those to talk about. That's next week on the 17th. On the 24th, Merry Christmas as we review El Paso history made news in 2016 with EP County Historical Commission Chairman Bernie Sargent will be in here. December 31st, we're going to do some tape recordings from our previous History Matters shows. We did a whole bunch of those shows, 13 shows in a row, and we're going to expose four of them on December 31st. Good old Sergio Valenzuela playing those back for us. January 7th, Pepe's coming in here.
Yay!
The Pepe!
Is he bringing our breakfast?
He's bringing his wife, so that anything can happen at that point.
True.
But he and Lorena will be in here. They should bring us some something.
Breakfast burritos.
We
there
could talk
go.
Them into that stuff. What? Taco, breakfast tacos, whatever. anyway, January 14th, Leon Blevins. Oh, there's an historic dude. January 21st, what history is happening in the new year at Museum of History? Ben Fife, interim director. So coming out, a lot of history. And we got to get Bob Bowes Bell back in here.
That's going to be great. Now, also, nothing to do in El Paso? Well, we got something going on tonight at Concordia Cemetery, which, of course, True West Magazine named the best historic Old West cemetery in the West.
Because it is.
It is. And they're going to have a ghost tour from from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. tonight out at the cemetery. And then also you've got Luminaries at Keystone Heritage Park. And that's going to go from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. There'll be 2,500 luminaries spread throughout the gardens and out by the lake. And it's just a wonderful Christmas music, cookies, cocoa. It's a perfect holiday tradition.
And
so come on out at
the
Donovan. The weather's
going
to be very good. Very Christmas-like. Very, very Christmas-like.
So that's at 4200. What's the address?
4200 Donovan Drive, just north of Sunland Park Drive in the Upper Valley. But come out. It's a great event. It's only $4 for adults, $3 for military, and $1 for children, 6 and older.
All right. We got trivia on the brain here. We got some easy questions here, folks. And I hope you can answer these. We're going to go to Prince. Prince, we got you on the radio. And I think you also have an announcement. You new trivia?
Yes.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
Prince.
Go. How's it going?
I think I know the answer.
Okay.
Well, would you like a DVD or would you like a Pepe's? We already know you know the answer. But what was the question?
The question was, name one of the two former names of UTEP.
I think I can name a few of those names.
No,
I enrolled at Texas Western College, and while I was a student there studying history, it rolled over to UTEP.
Right. You got the prize. Man. We knew you were going to win the prize, Prince.
You want another one?
Okay. College of Mines.
My grandmother enrolled at the College of Mines and Metallurgy, and she was one of the first women to get a master's degree there.
Oh, wow. Interesting history there. So, and you yourself have a history here in El
Paso. That's
right. You're the train guy to a lot of people. And also, there's another moment that you need to tell us about.
Yes, we really have a great loss right now that we are experiencing in the historic preservation community. Ron Dawson passed away and caught us all by surprise. He was very active. He hadn't slowed down at all. And he was a writer, historian, webmaster, publisher, a humanist, just everything. You can imagine for a very active historian, but he is probably the father of the revival of the streetcars.
Yes.
And it's because of his tireless work over the last 30 years that our streetcars are being installed. Our streetcar tracks are being installed downtown along lines he recommended, and our streetcars themselves are being restored in a shop in Pennsylvania.
He was instrumental in all that. He really was. Give us some details on what you're trying to promote here, Prince. The events.
Okay, we're going to have a memorial service for him Sunday night. Anyone who wants to learn about him or remember him, this is going to be a Martin Funeral Home out on George Dieter, 1460 George Dieter, 7 to 9 p.m. Sunday evening.
Yeah, tomorrow, right?
Yeah, for tomorrow.
Yes.
For Ron Dawson.
And then there will actually be a funeral service on Monday morning at the famous Masonic Cemetery in Las Cruces.
Oh, yeah.
That's 10 a.m. Monday morning.
Well, we're talking about Ron Dawson. Princeton, we need to move on, but thank you for your call and also your comments here about Ron.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Sure.
And you know how to hold on here and get your prize, right?
Yes. Anyone that wants to learn more about Ron Dawson or about his services, they can call me.
Go ahead.
240-8384.
That's Prince McKenzie, and thank you for calling. Don't go away, Prince. You got a prize coming.
Merry Christmas,
thank you.
Prince.
Hold on there. Thank you very much. All right, I got one more caller on the line here. We got Pat. Pat. Pat, what's on your mind this morning? You want a trivia? You want a trivia question?
I was going to answer the UTEP question.
Okay, you got another. We got another question, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Oh. What do you?
Do you want to try the other question?
I hope I can answer it. Yes.
Go for it.
Okay. How did the UTEP mascot pay? Paper, Dirt Pete, get his name.
No, Dr. Martin has a furrowed brow over here. Do you know this one?
No.
He doesn't
know
this one. Stump the band here. What do you think?
I have no idea.
Oh, darn it.
Just make up something.
Darn it, I know.
Make up something, no?
I guess the guy that started it, was his name was Pete? I don't know.
No, no.
What do you got, Melissa? What's the answer?
Well, we'll give the answer. It was in 1974, they had a contest to name the mascot. The name Pay Dirt Pete was selected from 500 entries, and the first animated Pay Dirt Pete was given a face in 1974.
How about that? Well, thank you for ringing up. Play next week again.
Okay.
Thanks. Take care. Merry Christmas.
You take care. We're going to take a break here. Dr. Martin is in the house, and what we have is a situation where you can get your grandkids or your children, if you're of that age, and what you can do is help them understand history. And we'll tell you how to do that in sort of a science fair kind of mentality.
That's right.
We got more coming after the break. Also, I want to thank the control room people.
Yes.
Sergio Valenzuela, ever so diligent in there, pushing electrons right out the door, right up the transmitter.
That's
and
right.
How they get to you, I don't know. But Shelley Sutherland, the lady in there who's taking the calls.
Very
thank
patient
you both
people.
Very much for what you do in there. And we shall be back after you call us on this phone number.
915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM or visit our El Paso History Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. This comment, Bob Bose Bell's looking at you. Dr. Martin will be looking at you in a minute.
He's already on there.
Oh, yeah. Back in a moment.
If you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please stay tuned for a special free offer from the makers of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit the ear almost invisibly, and it can be adjusted to find the perfect way to hear everything in every listening environment. Right now, we're offering absolutely free in-home trials to everyone who calls now. 1-800-500-6202. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also receive free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear is lightweight and practically invisible, so people won't notice when you're wearing it. So again, if you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please give them or yourself this life-changing 100% free in-home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now 1-800-500-6202. That's 1-800-500-6202. 1-800-500-6202.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson paid by Open Jar.
Attention, this is an important message for anyone who had an IVC filter implanted to prevent blood clots from traveling to their heart or lungs. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. If you or a loved one has had an IVC filter implanted, you may be entitled to substantial compensation, even if you haven't experienced any injury at this time. IVC filters have been considered an accident waiting to happen by many. Call the IVC helpline now at 800-216 Mistakes hurt. For a free consultation with an experienced attorney, IVC filters have been known to fracture and cause tearing of the heart, lungs, internal bleeding, and even death. Our network of experienced attorneys are ready to fight for you. You pay no fees unless your case is settled, but time is limited to make a claim. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one has an IVC filter implanted, call the IVC helpline now. Operators are standing by 24/7 to take your call at 800-216-HURT. 800-216-HURT. That's 800-216-HURT.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, folks, we're going to tell you now what's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc.
He owes almost $400,000 in back property taxes and could face foreclosure. Why the city is going after businessman Billy Abraham now.
Also in the Inc., how Santa Teresa is attracting new businesses and why they're not picking El Paso.
And the man who runs Sunland Park Racetrack says they're ready for the new season and explains why he wants to go all thoroughbred.
All right, we're going to do this all in El Paso, Inc. It's online, elpasoinc.com. Also available for home and business delivery.
Call 534-4422 to get your subscription.
Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra, a close look at the so-called social host ordinance. How the city of El Paso is now taking aim at people who own a home where underage drinking is happening, not just those who bought the alcohol.
The program is live and interactive, and you can send in your comment or question via email, Facebook, Twitter, or give them a call. Stephanie Guadian hosts this Sunday's Extra at 10:35 p.m. only on ABC 7.
As if there's a friends of ours in the broadcast business, Yay. We are going to give them a promo. They're going to give us a promo.
That's right.
All right, to the point of El Paso history and general history of the world, getting students to be tuned into the history is quite often the issue.
Right.
We have a man in the house here, Dr. Charles Martin, who is on a regular basis trying to make this happen. First of all, I want to thank you, Doc, for doing this.
Well, thanks.
I hope it's tenured based on whatever you're doing. You get points out of this.
I'm trying to remember when I started. I think I started doing this in 2006.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
At that time we had 110 students, and this last February we had 470 students.
Walk us Fantastic. Through the process. What is this and how do people get involved?
Okay. It's sort of grown to almost too big. But here's how it works, okay? For students, you work through your classroom. And in the El Paso Independent School District for the 8th grade for the Gifted and Talented program, it's required that you have to do a History Day project in your home room.
Mm-hmm.
And then the best of those from the home room automatically qualified to come over to UTEP. On the high school level, it's not mandatory in most in any of the districts, so it's done on a class-by-class basis where a teacher will give them the option. Last year we did have a Coronado class where they all did a project and then several of those came over. But in high school, curriculum's very crowded.
Yes,
so it's a little bit harder to work in something that hasn't been there for 50 years.
Yeah.
So basically what happens is if somebody wants to do a History Day project, but their class is not required to do it or it's not part of it, they have to work through their homeroom teacher or another teacher, but homeroom teacher.
They have to have kind of like that sponsorship
right.
of that.
You have to have a sponsor, thank you, which sometimes could be the librarian also if you're working the library. And then that that sponsor has to help them register for the contest. We're not accepting registrations yet because National History Day has paid a lot of money to update their registration system with new software. And so it's in the, I don't know, the 13th round of testing.
Well, you give us a time and we'll announce it for you here.
It's supposed to be ready. It's supposed to have been ready last week, but we're pretty sure it's going to be ready by January 1st. But again, it's like all these other websites when you have all this new technology. And this is the database that everybody uses around the country. So we don't want another healthcare.gov or those kinds of problems where it goes online and it's not quite ready.
No.
So that's why they're holding back. So once a student wants to do a topic, okay, and they have to have a sponsor, and then the sponsoring teacher has to register with El Paso History Day, and the student has to register, and then we have a various timeline about when the events will take place. Now, the actual day is February 25th, but websites and papers are judged in the 2 weeks prior to that. So we begin that around February 14th or so, and now, by the way, that's also a time when I'm also looking for judges, especially for websites. The interesting thing about judging websites is you don't even have to be in El Paso or the United States.
Right.
You can be any place in the world as long as you can hook up to the Internet.
So you need volunteers.
Yes, you also need volunteers. And if you go to our website, all you have to do is Google El Paso History Day, and it'll take you to our website. And you can also go to our Facebook page and see some examples of student projects and examples of our award ceremony.
El Paso History Day on Facebook?
El Paso History Day. That's all you need to Google, and it will come up. Or you can go to the History Department website and get a link. But El Paso History Day, Googling in is the easiest way to find it.
Well, let me ask you, now you have this contest and kids win. Now they have a chance to go on to the nationals, or do they win money? Do they win scholarships?
That's a good question. All right, the top two automatically qualify for the state contest, which is Texas History Day, and it's held the last day or two in April or the first day in May down in Austin. It's at the Bob Bullock Texas History Museum.
Great museum,
and the University of Texas campus there. And then the top two there qualify to go to National History Day in College Park, Maryland. And that runs for about 5 or 6 days in June. Like this year, this year it's going to be like June 11th through 16th. And that's have all kinds of high-powered people. I mean, we're talking about a really sophisticated level of competition when you get to that point. But we've had people from El Paso place first or second at state and qualify and go off to National History Day. So it's really quite impressive.
There's a picture list this year earlier in February. There's a lot of people doing this.
We have standing room only for our awards ceremony, which is held up in the Tomas Rivera Conference Center on the third floor of the UTEP Union. And it's a pretty big deal because the parents and grandparents and friends and relatives come out. And, for example, if you had like 470 students last year, you can think about the number of parents and grandparents and
friends.
Three
or four each, and it'll have all that kind of people rolling in. But look at the interest you're generating in our history. Now, you're doing all history of all kinds. What do we got to do to make you do more local history?
We do have some awards that we give, and thanks to the Gorman family, or the Frank Gorman family, we give sort of like the sweepstake awards.
Oh.
But the County Historical Commission, for example, sponsors a special award for a project on local history. Our African American Studies program in UTEP sponsors a special award for one on African American history. Women's Studies sponsors one on women's history. Our Religious Studies program sponsors an award for an entry. These are supposed to be outstanding entries on a religious or spiritual theme.
Okay.
So we give out a lot of individual entries, and we give medals for first, second, third, and fourth place. So we try to reward, because the ones who go over to UTEP are ones that have not just done a project. These are ones that have done excellent projects, and hopefully, if they've done it right, they've also revised and upgraded the project before they come to us.
Okay, are these projects published somewhere?
We haven't had much of a of a way to do that. We've had occasionally somebody go to the County Historical Society and show something, but you know, that's actually a very good point, because we could probably
put them online,
post some things online. Right now, we have some copyright problems with posting websites.
Yes.
So we have to be careful with websites. Documentary films, I believe we could post, and so that's a good point.
Well, maybe just take a picture of the students' board and get a one-liner of what this is. Point is, I think El Paso could learn from their kids.
Now, if you go to our Facebook page, we have...
I am on your Facebook
page
right now.
We have, the awards. We have pictures of all the students that get awards. And so we have post about 80 to 90 photos on the Facebook page. We have, you can see the winners, and then you have to go into the file, and you can see all kinds of photos. And we try to take several photos of the best of the poster exhibits every year, because those are very clear, and you can just look at them if it's a good photo, and you can just see what it's about, and you can see the illustrations, and you can see the work that the individual or groups have put into them.
Let's do this. When you get these people awarded and things are cooled down and this contest is kind of over, bring them in here. Let's meet them. Let's bring in your top two or three. And our interest would obviously be El Paso history. I mean, you can do, you know, how frozen cannonballs work in the tundra, but we don't care. We want to know what happens here in El Paso.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking here. You have Texas History Day gold medal winner, and I don't have her name right in front of me, but apparently she did a story on a veteran. But, I mean, this is just, I mean, some examples of these kids.
Maybe
that was the state level, isn't it, when they go to Texas History Day?
History Day is the state of Texas contest.
Chica, we should sponsor a thing here.
I think it's a great thing.
We have to figure out how to make some money here and turn it into an award for a kid.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe we could give them a
scholarships.
We could give them a set of our DVDs.
That's true.
I know how to do that.
Ooh, that'd be great.
All right, let's take a break here and figure that out. Dr. Martin is in the house. If you have a question about these contests, including do you have a phone number, we'll ask you that when we come back. Because there will be somebody who needs to call you.
Well, I just posted the web pages for both their Facebook page as well as the web page for the El Paso History Day, so they can get through to him there also. But I'll put his phone number up.
And Shelley is writing me a note that says, what, volunteers? Yeah, he wants to know how to get volunteers in here. So you better have a phone number for volunteers. We'll talk about that after the break. Shall we do that? A moment.
If you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please stay tuned for a special free offer from the makers of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit the ear almost invisibly, and it can be adjusted to find the perfect way to hear everything in every listening environment. Right now, we're offering absolutely free in-home trials to everyone who calls now. 1-800-500-6202. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear is lightweight and practically invisible, so people won't notice when you're wearing it. So again, if you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please give them or yourself this life-changing 100% free in-home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now, 1-800-500-6202. That's 1-800-500-6202. 1-800-500-6202.
Do you spend your nights going to the bathroom instead of sleeping? Can't sit through a movie or have trouble going? If so, you might be suffering from an enlarged prostate. If you suffer from a weak stream, frequent urgency, discomfort during urination, or even a diminished sex drive, then listen to this. There's now a major breakthrough to help get these problems under control. It's Prosvent, a doctor-formulated blend of natural herbs and nutrients specifically designed to help promote the health of your prostate. It's so effective, relief is guaranteed within 30 days.
This is wonderful stuff. Remarkable stuff. I wish someone had told me about it sooner.
To get a free bottle of Prosvent with your order, call 800-227-7003 or go to yourfreebottle.com and enter iHeart at checkout. Remember, call 800-227-7003 or go to yourfreebottle.com. That's 800-227-7003. Supplies are limited, so call 800-227-7003 now.
For maximum smartphone performance, reach for the Mini. The new Axon 7 Mini, now available at Best Buy. Dolby Atmos means an immersive 3D audio experience. The AMOLED screen and 16-megapixel camera capture vibrant images. Sleekly designed, it fits perfectly into your hand, your life, and your budget. It's Mini to the max. Go to your nearest Best Buy or online for the Axon 7 Mini by ZTE. Have you heard?
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
It's December 10th, and there's things going on all over the place. You go, actually, December 11th, tomorrow, they're going to do yoga out at Waco Tanks. Yoga in the cold at Waco Tanks. So give them a call, 857-1135. And you have something going on.
Well, you got tomorrow, or today, excuse me, at 2 p.m. at the El Paso Museum of Archaeology, they're going to have an exhibit on Quanah Parker. One man, two words. And that's a very interesting subject. And you're going to have Margaret Schmidt Hacker is presenting the Cynthia Ann Parker, The Life and Legend, at 2 p.m. at the Museum of Archaeology out there on Trans Mountain.
Also today, up on the tramway, they're doing printmaking, and you can do all kinds of stuff up there. Santa is at the tram. That's next weekend. And so you get a hold of those people, and if you want to see something interesting, look at El Paso from the top.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It really is kind of interesting.
Take your guests and family up there. They're coming for town.
Plan on it. When the people show up in town, say, what are we going to do? Let's take them up there.
What the hell?
So you got the Quanah Parker thing. That's today at the Museum of Archaeology. All right. Dr. Martin, there's a whole interesting group of people that listen to this show because they didn't hear their history when they grew up in El Paso. That's like me. Mm-hmm. And I've learned it sitting in this chair, basically. Like, oh, that happened here? Oh, that happened here? And I've gotten to the point where I think this is a pretty classy place. Am I close? I mean, how do we rate on a world-class level of El Paso history, from your opinion?
Well, I think that in general, Texas, if you look at the United States, Texas has one of, if not probably, the number one most complicated history.
Oh,
and so,
start with that, yeah.
And then you look at El Paso as part of Texas history. Now, it's true that we don't really have the southern dimension of Texas history here like you do in East Texas. But we certainly have the western dimension and the borderlands dimension.
Oh, yeah.
And, technically, in the lower valley and upper valley, we certainly had cotton production, et cetera.
Sure.
And a lot of the 19th century settlers here, Anglo settlers, came from East Texas or further across the south. So there is a southern influence, to be sure. But we're more in the western and borderlands side of it. Then you add in, the mining industry, ranching industry, the impact of
military
bases.
Yeah.
I mean, Fort Bliss is just has an incredible economic influence on El Paso. I always think, it's interesting, the German Air Force, when it was here, also.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at local soccer leagues, for example, very few of them know that adult soccer, basically, here in El Paso, was brought by the Germans. Oh. They were the ones that, and Reinhard Joost trained, I think he told me before he left to go back to Germany years ago, like 100 soccer referees in El Paso.
Oh, my.
Kind of launch soccer refereeing.
Well, the history just goes on, and that's what I was asking. Where do we rate on a world stage? I keep telling people that this is world-class history.
I think like what Bernie does with Keystone, doing a timeline. Okay, this is what was happening in the world, and this is what was happening in El Paso. And it's interesting, the comparisons, how many times they will connect up with the rest of that large picture of the world.
I think for students, the idea is, though, that history happens off in Washington, New York, or Mexico City.
Somewhere else, yeah.
And what makes El Paso kind of interesting, it has the vantage point of looking two directions. It's basically on the border between two nations. And so you can see, by looking each direction, you can see the national trends within each of those two countries and how they often converge here. Now, not every trend converges here, but it's a different way of looking at things, not always looking from the center, the capital, the metropolis out, but looking from the geographical margins back in. And we're on the margins of two countries, which some people would say, well, that shows it's not important because you're marginally twice.
We're better important. Come on.
But if you look at what it means is you get perspectives that are different than
exactly.
People get in these other locations.
Okay, we tell the people anywhere who will listen, especially the ones in East Texas, Texas history begins in El Paso.
That's right.
You go to the timeline. What happened first? Am I right?
Yes. To me, this is like the heart of the Southwest for the United States.
Well, the birthplace of the Southwest, for sure.
Well, we were the most important city in the Southwest well into the 20th century. Yeah. And then later on, because of population growth, Phoenix begins to move ahead, and Tucson and Albuquerque because of their relationship to their own states, whereas we're in a much larger state. We've always been kind of peripheral to the politics because we're out here.
In
if we'd been part of New Mexico, of course, we've been essential all the time.
Dr. Martin, thanks for coming in, dude.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Come back and bring the EPISD people. We'll talk further about what kind of El Paso history that we think we ought to hear from our students, because that's the whole point. The students need to hear the history. Then they become ambassadors.
Right, ambassadors, for El Paso. And they share it with their with the other friends, and maybe as they become teachers, they go on and they have that love. So that's wonderful.
And so how do people find you, a phone number?
They can call me at UTEP. My number over there is simply 747-7055. You can email me at mcharles@utep.edu, and our history department webpage also has a listing for me. So you can go to the history department at UTEP, scroll down, find me, contact me through that location.
Let's get our kids involved, our grandkids involved in El Paso history, and figure out what a great place this is. It's easy to live here once you know what went on here, in my opinion. So that's what you got. All right, Dr. Martin, thanks again for coming in. We'll hope to see you again in the new year.
Thanks so much.
And I hope this works out well for El Paso History Day. Google that and you'll find some interesting stuff going on.
Right.
Melissa, shall we come back next week?
I think we should come back next week. I should have thawed out by then. And come to Luminaria as a keystone tonight.
Rosa Guerrero next week coming next. And also the Luminaria tonight, 6 to 9 p.m. Keystone Heritage Park. Everybody else, ephistory.com for details. Thanks for joining us today. See you next week on the El Paso
Adios.
History Radio Show.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.